So good morning, everybody. This morning, I'm going to talk about making a new beginning. I know it's well after the start of the new year. We're a month into the new year. But I just felt last week to speak about the church making a new beginning. It's as if this is a new start for us, right? Like nothing has gone before. Can you think in that way? That actually, this is just, we're like a newborn babe, and we're making a completely new start in church, to build church, to do what God wants us to do in this area. So I'm going to read from John's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 1 to 9. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there was in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie: the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up. Pick up your mat and walk." And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. This is God's word for us today. I wonder if in life you ever feel like an old pair of chewed up slippers. Or maybe one of the slippers has been chewed up. You know, dogs love chewing slippers, don't they? And I am reminded of a story this morning of a dog who chewed the tongue on a new, very expensive pair of running shoes. And the dog's owner hoped to save his investment, so he took it to a shoe repair shop, and he placed it on the counter, and he said to the shoe repair man, "Is there anything you can do to save my shoe?" So the shoe repair man picked it up, looked it over, thought for a while, and then placed it back down on the counter. "Well," said the man, "what do you recommend?" And the shoe repair man looked at him and said, "Give the dog the other one." Maybe sometimes in life you feel like that so much of you has been chewed up that actually it's time to give up. It's time to give the devil the other part of you. I want to say this morning that no matter how chewed up you are, that God is always able to put you back together. God is a shoe repair man, and he will never say to you, "Give the other part to the devil." Jesus, in his power, is able to put you back together. So this morning, I want to say that God wants to do a new thing in our lives. God wants to do a new thing in you starting today. Not at the beginning of the year. God is outside of time. God doesn't keep to our timetables. God do a new and a fresh thing on you today. He wants to breathe life and energy and healing into your life and into my life. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
That's God. He wants to heal you. He wants to restore that old, chewed up pair of slippers. This year, let go of the bad and receive the good. Let go of everything that has happened in the past. Forget the past. Behold, I do a new thing in your life, the Lord says. I'm renewing you and I'm restoring you. The past doesn't matter. And new beginnings, you know, they always start with looking to God. A new beginning is not going to start because you make a New Year's resolution. How many? Well, where are we with these things anyway? After 1 month? Yeah? Are we still on track?
No.
It doesn't start with a New Year resolution. It doesn't start with willpower.
No.
Willpower is great. Yeah, but it doesn't start with willpower. Changing our lives for the better, making a new start, coming out of mediocrity, it always begins with the power of God.
Yeah.
You know, a new beginning starts when we realize that we are powerless to change ourselves.
Yeah.
You and I, we can't change ourselves. No matter how hard we try, we cannot repair the old shoe.
Yeah.
So, left to ourselves, we might as well give the rest to be chewed up as well. But with God, all things are possible.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Yes.
When we look to God for an encounter with Jesus, then we can change forever. Yeah? So, let's look at today's text. Okay? This poor man at the pool of Bethesda. I've been there. It's a ruin now. But in those days, it was a great gathering spot. There was quite a gathering there. It says in the Bible, a great number. However, this was not a charismatic jamboree. This was not a bring party. Okay? This was a serious competition when the water was stirred. Serious competition when the water was stirred. Can you imagine, you know, going to A&E at King's Mill Hospital in Mansfield? And the process was that whenever the doctor opened the door, the first in the door got to see him. Can you imagine what it would be like? The rush to get in. No appointment system, okay. No, none of this, the nurse coming out and calling your name, but the door opens and first in the door gets treated by the doctor. Well, that's what it was like. It was first down into the water, got healed. So that we, can you imagine, when the water stirred, there was a rush, a stampede of people to get down there. Only thing was, many of them were sick and blind and lame. So the blind and the lame were immediately at a disadvantage. They couldn't see the water stirring. And of course, the lame wouldn't be able to get there on time. So you had sick Sam, blind Betty, lame Larry, and paralyzed Pete. All of them at a great disadvantage. This wasn't a party. It wasn't a party, okay? This was serious business for them. And then there was this one man at the very back of the queue. We know that because he had been there for 38 years. He had been paralyzed for 38 years. That figure, 38, is very symbolic. The word, the letter 3 in the Bible is the symbol for divinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's the symbol for divine wholeness and healing.
Yeah.
And the word, the letter 8 is a symbol for a new beginning or regeneration. So what do? You put an encounter with the living God. Yeah?
Yeah.
together with somebody who's an invalid, what you get? You get 3 and 8, you get regeneration. You get a new beginning. You get a new birth. So here you have, you can imagine the scene. And Jesus comes into this scene. And for whatever reason, I think we know why, Jesus speaks to them, this particular man. You can imagine there was a big crowd there. It tells us that there was a great number, possibly in the hundreds of people. And Jesus picks out this man at the end of the queue. Jesus picks out this man who was disenfranchised. He was at a great disadvantage. And Jesus picks him out. That's Jesus for you. If you are disadvantaged in any way, if you are disenfranchised, if you feel that you are at the back of the queue, then Jesus has come for you. If you are a sinner who feels that you are not worthy, Jesus has come for you.
Hallelujah.
He's making a beeline for you.
Yes.
Because those are the ones that Jesus came for. He said, I have not come for the well. He said, I have come for the sick. He came for the sick. He's come for you and
Hallelujah.
For me. And Jesus saw him lying there. Jesus sees you see. Yeah, his eye of discernment picks out your brokenness and your hunger and your need. That's where the eye of Jesus is drawn. God is drawn to chaos. Did you know that? God is drawn to chaos. He sees the chaos in your life and he sees your need. And he takes an intense interest in this particular man above anybody else who was there. And he sees his suffering just as he sees your suffering and he sees my suffering. He knew how long he had been there because he'd asked. So he knows and he understands where you're at. And then he spoke to him. Okay. He sees, he knows your situation. And then he speaks. And he says to the man, do you want to be restored? Do you want to make a new beginning? And when Jesus speaks into your situation, everything changes. Everything changes. Jesus changes everything.
Hallelujah.
We cannot be the same again once Jesus speaks to us. So, come on, this is not religion. Religion doesn't change you, okay? It's not going to change you. Coming out of a sense of duty is not going to change you. What's going to change you and me is an encounter with Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's what changes you. Brings you out of your, you know, your disability, whatever that disability might be. Brings you out of your depression. Gives you a new hope. Goodness me, what an incredible God we have, because there is always hope. We always have hope. But the man didn't immediately respond to Jesus in the way that you might think he should. He doesn't say, yes, count me in. What does he do? He gives him a reason for why he is the way he is. That's what we do very often. Oh, I'm this way because of my wife, because of my husband, because of my children, because of my family. I haven't got time, because of my illness. I've got a reason. I've got an excuse, in other words. People are very, very good at finding reasons for not doing things or not being where they should be or not growing in the way that they should grow. We're great at it. It's called excuse making. This man, not only was he sick, but, you know, he had nobody to help him. He's alone. He's alone in life. And Jesus makes a beeline for him. Wow, how incredible is that? He felt powerless to do anything for himself. He was powerless. So what did he do? He came up with reasons for why he was the way he was. That's what we do. You know, Moses, when God came to him, Moses gave at least five excuses. He gave five reasons for not following the call of God. Number one, he said, I'm not good enough. Not good enough. I've done too many things in my life. God, don't you know that I murdered a man? I committed murder. Don't you know that? Why are you calling me? You should know. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to serve you. I'm not good enough to lead your people. I'm not good enough to do what you're calling me to do. Issue settled. Okay? Settled. I'm not good enough. That's where many of us actually go to. That's where we set. That's what we settle for. I'm not good enough, so I ain't moving from where I am. Just like, you know, Moses. But God is so gracious, he doesn't give up on you. He doesn't give up on you when you make your excuses. Moses went on to say, I don't know you. Who shall I say sent me? I don't know who you are. But you know, when you have an encounter with God, you always know who God is. The first time that God came into my life, I knew God. I knew it was God. So if you've had an encounter with God in the past, you know God. Yeah. You know that with God all things are possible. So we have no excuse. Moses said then, but people won't believe me. They just won't believe me. But once again, when we have a supernatural encounter with God, we don't need to make excuses. And we don't need to worry about what other people think. Forget other people. Put that aside. You have the call of God. You have the voice of God speaking to you. So you have the power to do what God wants you to do. And then Moses said, but I am a terrible public speaker. You know, how many times have we heard that? I could never stand up front and give a testimony. I could never preach. Because I'm not good at public speaking. But you know what? We're all gifted. We've all got a gift. And God has given us the gift of speech and the gift of communication. You know what? This is a gift that animals don't have. We are higher than the animals. We have a gift that animals do not have. The gift of speech, the gift of communication. So we can all share our testimony. And then, of course, the last excuse that Moses gave was simply this. I don't want to. Yeah? I don't want to. And this is the one excuse that made God angry. God got mad. Because Moses didn't want to do what God wanted to do. Making an excuse is often the way to get us out of doing something we don't want to do. And God got angry. God wasn't angry with any of the first four excuses, but he was angry when Moses was just plain unwilling. So, perhaps Moses really wanted to serve, but was unwilling because of his past, because of past rejection. There could be many reasons why he didn't want to serve. But nevertheless, the basic truth was that Moses was unwilling, not unable. And it's not much different today, I think, in many people's lives. Today, people are unwilling because it might cost too much time, too much money, or it might cost us our reputation, or it might cost us our popularity. We don't want to follow Jesus. We don't want to serve Jesus because it's not very popular. Not very popular today to say, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. We are very much in a small minority in this country. We have been swamped with a spirit of unbelief. And it's difficult for many people to stand up and say, count me in, I nail my colours to the mast, I am follower of Jesus Christ. That's not easy. to do. So today, new beginnings. A new beginning starts with an encounter with God and Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. That's the most important goal in our lives, is to get to know Jesus better. That gives us the impetus and the confidence for everything else. Everything else about our Christian walk comes from an encounter with God. Not an encounter with religion, but an encounter with God. Not from really from what other people tell us we should be doing, but from an encounter with God that imprints His law and His voice deep within us. It changes us so that we're never the same again. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, he said, "What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in Him." You see, he was willing to give up everything, time, money, reputation, and popularity. All of that he was willing to let go because he said, "I count all of these things a loss compared to the surpassing value, the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." So when we know Jesus, we have an impetus. We have a power, we have a confidence to move forward. If we lose that connection with the head, if we lose the connection with Jesus, we lose that power, we lose that impetus, we lose that motivation to keep moving ahead. When we have that connection, we have power to overcome sin. You know, one of the first things that Jesus said to the man when he met him afterwards, this paralyzed man who'd got healed, he said, "Go and sin no more." You choose to go and sin no more. Why? Because you have the power. You have the power to change, to be a new person. And then what did the man do? He went and he told people that it was Jesus who had healed him. So he not only had he power not to sin again, but he had power to go and witness to Jesus. It all starts when Jesus speaks into your life. He said to that man, he said, "Get up, take up your mat and go home." It starts with an encounter with the voice of the living God. And believe me, God can speak to all of us. It's impossible for us to change. It's impossible for us to grow in our maturity. It's impossible for us to grow, church. As I was saying last week, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers build in vain. You can struggle, you can strive to build your own life. You can struggle, you can strive to get nearer to God. But unless the Lord does it in your life, it's all about Him. It's all about Jesus. Amen. Amen. He is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. But He is also the power of God to go on being saved for everyone who believes. So it's all about Jesus. I'm reminded of the woman with an issue of blood who had tried to change herself. She had spent all her money on her doctors, but nothing changed. Absolutely nothing changed in that issue or that flow of blood until that day when she encountered Jesus. Yeah. And she reached out and she touched even the hem of His garment. Touching even the hem of His garment is enough to change you and change me. Amen. Hallelujah. Just a drop of His power is enough to change your life completely. And from that day on, she was never the same again. A new beginning starts with an encounter with Jesus. It starts and continues when we stop making excuses. And we stop giving reasons for being the way that we are. You know, you can live with somebody, yeah, who continually makes excuses. They know what's the right thing to do, but they continually give you a reason for not doing what they should be doing. Yeah, they can continually do that. You can live with somebody who's like that. And then one day the penny drops. And everything that was impossible beforehand suddenly becomes possible. Suddenly everything changes and there's momentum and there's impetus and there's forward movement. Amen?
Amen.
That comes in our lives from a meeting with Jesus. A new beginning starts and continues when we stop making excuses and we start listening to God's reassurance in our lives. And God says, you can do this. You can be a different person. You see, it comes from a relationship. And you and I, we can hear from the living God. And there's something else I think that's important in making a new beginning. Because we have to admit that we're not actually in the place where God wants us to be. We're not where God wants us to be. Paul said in Philippians 3:12, he said, I press on towards the goal, towards the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then he says, not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal. Paul, who was a fantastic apostle, knew that he had a long way to go. Let none of us ever think that we have arrived. We haven't arrived. Yeah, we're still broken. We are a work in progress, each and every one of us. God always has more to do in us. So let's not settle back and say, I'm okay where I am. We're not okay where we are. We have always got to keep reaching out to God. Always, you know, an ongoing encounter with Him. It's an ongoing relationship. So listen to the voice of your brokenness. Don't deny that you are broken. Don't deny that you need more of God's power to, you know, break you out of the place where you are at the moment. We must admit that we are broken, that we aren't perfect yet. So don't deny, you know, tell yourself, yes, it's okay to feel broken. It's okay to feel inadequate. It's okay to feel insecure or rejected. But, there's a but. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah?
That's where the but comes in. It's not an excuse. It's a but. I can do all things through Christ. By His stripes I am healed.
Hallelujah.
It's a but. You know, I feel inadequate. I feel powerless today. But the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim recovery to the captives and healing to the captives and release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. Yes, there's a but. My God is the God of the impossible.
Hallelujah.
Amen. My God is the God of the impossible. And God can break me out of the situation that I'm in. I don't have to stay where I am. I don't have to stay at desperation corner. I don't have to stay at mediocrity. I can break out. I can move on. I can be a different person. Hallelujah. And then we have the power. A new beginning is when we have the power to move forward and forget the past. Forget the past. Forget all your failures, your mistakes, your broken resolutions. Paul said, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Are we pressing on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of us? He said, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. Amen. Let that sink in this morning. Forgetting what is behind. I am straining towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. To press on towards that place where, as Liz said this morning, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. So, be encouraged this morning that you can make a new beginning because of Christ. That disabled, invalid man who had been there for 38 years, it doesn't matter how long it's been, God will always do a new thing in your life. Yeah. Put 3 and 8 together, and what you get God and regeneration. You get God and a new beginning. Take the 3 out of the equation, you don't get a new beginning. It's only with God that these things are possible. Amen. So pray. Seek God. Pray, pray, pray. Get into prayer. It's in prayer that you meet with God. If we don't pray, we don't meet with God. Get into your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Be in the Word of God, because it's in the Word of God that God speaks to you. Get into church regularly, because it's in church also that God speaks to you. God encourages you. God motivates you to be the person that he wants you to be. What's the point in coming to church if we don't receive something from it? If God doesn't speak to us in some way? We are the body of Christ. He's the head. He ministers into the whole body. Yeah, so get into church and be a servant in the church, because the greatest blessing that you will ever receive in this life, apart from the new birth and the baptism in the Holy Spirit, is the blessing of service. The bowl and the towel. Take up the bowl and the towel and start serving each other. Tell other people about Jesus. Yeah. Confess it out that you know Jesus and you love Jesus. There's a blessing in that. Pray for the sick. You can always lay your hands on the sick. You can get involved in mission, going or giving. You can do acts of random kindness for people. Such incredible ways of blessing the church, blessing other people, and being blessed yourself as well. So this morning, do you need to make a fresh start? Is there anybody here who feels, I'm like that old slipper and the tongue has been chewed off, that nice pair of trainers or sneakers and the dog has chewed? Yeah, fantastic. There you go. Wonderful. Well, we're going to pray with you, okay? I'm going to invite you to come forward this morning. It's a month into the new year, but don't worry about that. God's still going to meet with you. So don't allow the past to hold you back. Joel Osteen once said, I know some of you don't agree with Joel Osteen, but he said this: if something is over and done, don't hold on to it. Break free, move forward, and experience a new beginning. You can't change the past, but God forgives you for the past. Yeah. So don't hold on to it. Let go of it and believe that God has forgiven you. Don't wait until you are ready. Don't wait until you are secure enough or brave enough or ready enough. Hugh Laurie, one of my favorite actors, okay? Not necessarily a Bible-believing Christian, I think, but he said this. He said, it's a terrible thing, I think, in life to wait until you are ready. I have this feeling now that actually no one is ever ready to do anything. There is almost no such thing as ready. He said, there is only now. Only now. That's the only time when you can do anything about anything, is now. Now, today is the day of salvation. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the time for God to minister to you. And don't wait either until you understand everything, because, you know, that's never going to come. That doesn't bring faith into the equation. Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Faith is taking the first step. Anybody willing? Anybody ready to take the first step this morning? Anybody wanting to join this young man here who's come in here for the first time this morning absolutely unashamed to put his hand up when the question is asked. Fantastic. We hold back because we think, you know, everybody will see me and, you know, they'll think there's something desperately wrong with my life or I'm a big sinner or something. Forget that stuff. Forget what people think about you. Come forward and make a stand this morning. Stand up for Jesus. Amen. Make a stand once again for Jesus. So I'm calling, making a call for people to come for the first time or the 51st time. It doesn't matter. But come and make a stand this morning. If you feel you're in a rut and you want to break out of it and today is the day and God's spoken into your life, come and make a stand. Come and nail your colors to the mast. Amen. I'm going to ask Liz to come. She's going to play and we're just going to spend a little time praying with people this morning. Amen. I just felt encouraged to make this call. Yeah, just come and stand. The very act of coming and standing is nailing your colours to the mast. If that's you this morning, don't hold back. Come forward and stand right here at the very front. Let's stand together. Let's see you come.